Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So, what's our excuse? The last few weeks in the lectionary readings have been about faith, belief, trust, and hope. Ian said a very interesting thing at Bruce's funeral on Friday. He said that belief is about giving your whole heart to someone. I like that. Giving our whole heart to someone. Is it enough to have faith? I have faith. You have faith. We are a community of faith. I don't think we realise sometimes how important that is. Do you remember the question that was asked of James and Jenny when we baptised Rowena? What is it that you ask of God's church? We asked that Rowena be baptised into the faith and family of Jesus Christ. How good is that? And then in the prayer later on, we pray that she may become a loyal disciple of Jesus Christ. That puts a lot of responsibility on us, doesn't it? It reminds us that we are the community that is responsible for discipleship. Making disciples is not easy, especially in the culture in which we live at the moment. The gospel tells us that Jesus has set his face to Jerusalem. And on the way, he is trying to invite people to follow him. He is trying to make disciples, followers of Jesus. Have you ever been snubbed? Anybody ever been snubbed? I was only snubbed last week. It's horrible. It makes you feel absolutely terrible. I like the way that the disciples who had gone on their way and Jesus had said, you know, just keep going. And they said, well, they rejected you. Will we make sure that brimstone and fire come upon them? And Jesus rebuked them. That little bit of a reading takes us back to the prophet Elijah and what happened when people didn't believe that he was called by God. Rejection is horrible. You know, even at the moment when there's so much happening, I think that the church is really quite silent about the things that are happening in our community. And I saw this, I want to share it with you. Who knows anything about Einstein? Hands up if you know anything about Einstein. No? Yes, you do. Very important, wasn't he? I want to read this to you. Albert Einstein, the German-born mathematician, slowly watched his homeland give in to Adolf Hitler. We already know what happened there. And he said he wondered if any were going to stand up and oppose. And he said, I was waiting for the universities to say something. They didn't. He waited for the press to denounce what was happening. They didn't. But instead they propagated the teachings. And one by one, the leaders and institutions we should have opposed what was happening bowed meekly down to the authority. And he then realized that there was only one institution that met with vigorous opposition, and that was the Christian church. And this is what he says. Einstein confessed, "That which I once despised, I now love with a passion. I cannot describe to you how much." Someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you." And hear these sad words. I think these are the saddest words I've heard Jesus speak. "Foxes have holes, birds their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me," and we've heard the excuses. "Let me bury my father, let me say farewell to my family." Jesus seems a bit harsh there, doesn't he? And then he says, "No one puts a hand to the plough and looks back is fit for the kingdom." Those harsh words were only words that Jesus spoke to say, hey, this is not easy. It's difficult. What are our excuses to the same question? You know, excuses can be quite funny. I'll give you some. Most of you have got children, and you will have had to send a note to school sometimes. Hands up who've had to do that. Yeah. "Please excuse Josh for being absent. I forgot to wake him up, and I did not find him until I started making the beds. By then it was too late for him to go to school. John didn't come to school yesterday because he was feeling like he was going to be sick. Thankfully he wasn't. Please excuse Janet's absence from school. It was take your daughter to work day. Since I don't have a job, I made her stay home and do the housework. Please excuse Ricky from school yesterday. He spilled gasoline on his stomach and I was afraid he might explode." I love this one. "Please excuse Mary for missing school yesterday. We forgot to get the Sunday paper off the porch, and when we found it on Monday, we thought it was Sunday." That's a cool one, isn't it? Then there are others. "Later, after the kids have moved out. Later, after Mum and Dad have at least gone into aged care. Later, after I get all my retirement stuff all fixed up. After my wife and I have had a chance to talk." That's a good one. I'll have to tell Tom that one. "After I've discharged all my responsibilities that I have at the moment. And after everything else is taken care of." You know, people in congregations are finding it hard. There's lots of elderly congregations now. We're so lucky here. And sometimes the people who used to do everything are going through terrible grief. I know that I can't do the things that I used to do anymore, and I hate it. And we should acknowledge that not everybody can do things. But what are our excuses? And sometimes if we ask somebody if they might like to do a certain job, that's the response that we get. And it's hard. I wonder if we've ever thought that when asked, we were actually responding to the question that Jesus asks, will you follow me? You know, lots of people say to you, who do you follow? You know, if I was to say to Linny, who do you follow? Collingwood. If anyone asks me, who do I follow? I say Collingwood very proudly. But I've never, ever thought even of responding to somebody's question like that, I follow Jesus. And I think that the next time I'm ever asked that question, I will be game enough to say I follow Jesus. And in the end, it's all about priorities, isn't it? Leaving behind. And that's hard. The Galatians reading said, for freedom Christ has set us free. How cool is that? And how hard is it to set aside things sometimes? And discipleship is about transformation of the entire soul, the heart, the mind, and the body. Living as though we really mean it to have faith. And Galatians tells us that one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. And the fruits of that are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Sometimes it's a really good thing for us to ask ourselves, okay, who is it that we follow? And how can we together make it more possible than what we're doing at the moment to share our discipleship with others? So maybe going home and having a think about what's our excuse is a good question this morning. Let's pray. Loving God, I think that this morning you've reminded us that the call that you make to follow you and that we're your disciples is not easy. But when we do, and when we respond to you, it's the most life-giving thing that we will ever do, however small that we think it might be. You extend that invitation to us, that we might use our stewardship as our call to discipleship in order that we can be there for our neighbour. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity you've given to us. Thank you for what is already happening in this place. Thank you for the gifts that you've given to each person here. And thank you for the way they never fail to respond. I give you thanks for that. In Jesus' name, amen.